Welcome to The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis. I am your host, Cicely Davis.
Well, first of all, Elon Musk is a once-in-a-generation business leader. He is an entrepreneur. He serves as a great ally and a friend to the president. And I think Elon Musk also has a little bit of common sense. And I think the American people really appreciate that when it comes to the federal government, because it seems like all common sense has been lost in this city. And that's what you see when you look at USAID. I know Secretary Rubio made some comments about how he will be acting as the director over that agency. And here's the reason why Elon Musk and others have been taking a look, because if you look at the waste and abuse that has run through USAID over the past several years, these are some of the insane priorities that that organization has been spending money on. $1.5 million to advance DEI in Serbia's workplaces, $70,000 for a production of a DEI musical in Ireland, $47,000 for a transgender opera in Colombia, $32,000 for a transgender comic book in Peru. I don't know about you, but as an American taxpayer, I don't want my dollars going towards this crap, and I know the American people don't either, and that's exactly what Elon Musk has been tasked by President Trump to do, to get the fraud, waste, and abuse out of our federal government.
Welcome back, American Savages, to The Savage Truth. My name is Cicely Davis, and I welcome you to yet another episode of The Savage Truth. Super excited to be in the house with some American patriots who love this country. Love what our president is doing. Of course, that was a great start out with Caroline Leavitt laying down the smackdown because the USAID is getting the shutdown. But before we get into that, I just want to say hello and thank you for joining me. If you're new to the channel, welcome. You picked an excellent episode to join me in. I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to speak with you and see if you like what I have to say. If you do, and I'm sure you will, come on back next time. Bring somebody with you. So those of you who have been with me since the beginning or since the very last episode or episode 39 or episode 74, I appreciate you. You are the ride or dies. You're the reason why I do this every week. I appreciate your support. Thank you for coming back and keep on doing so and let others know about the show. I have an ask, and it is this: to please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube as we get into this, because we are off to a great start. I know I said it last time and the time before that and the time before that, and I've been saying it since November 5th. We are winning, and the winning just keeps on continuing. The USAID, by the way, it's not aid, okay? I keep hearing people say USAID. It's not aid. It's USAID, and it is getting the shutdown. Elon Musk, as head of the newly established Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE, is taking Washington by storm, exposing the astronomical waste of American tax dollars that politicians, especially on the left, have been hiding for decades. It's been waste for decades. The waste of American taxpayer dollars for decades. With his signature no-nonsense approach, Musk has been tearing through government spending, like Caroline said, line by line, revealing bloated budgets, shady NGO payouts, and billions with a B, funneled through and into foreign nations that hate us, okay? The American people are finally have a front seat. They have a seat in the front row, and they are finally getting a clear look at how corrupt career politicians have been looting their hard-earned money to fund pet projects, globalist schemes, and outright fraud. Now, predictably, the left is in full panic mode, which means that's your signal, by the way, that this is a good thing. When you see the left falling apart, foaming at the mouth, having seizures, and they're resuscitating, okay? They're wetting themselves. They're pooping themselves, right? They're reporting to the emergency room. They're calling the ambulance, okay? Scrambling, all right? Then you know that we are doing a good thing. Scrambling to stop the bleeding before their entire house of cards collapses. The exposure of these deep-rooted financial black holes has sent shockwaves through the political establishment, and the usual suspects are in a uproar, as you've seen. NGOs that have been pocketing taxpayer cash under the guise of humanitarian efforts are furious that their slush funds, I can get it out, are being cut off. Foreign nations that have treated America like an ATM machine are panicking as Musk uncovers how much of their money has been wasted on useless aid programs that do nothing but prop up corrupt regimes. Even the mainstream media, even them, which has long served as the left's propaganda arm, is spinning into override, labeling Doge's efforts as dangerous, reckless, a threat to democracy, operating outside of the law. Okay. And of course, what that really means is that it's a threat to their control. Now, the left is mobilizing their full arsenal to shut Doge down before more damage is done to their corrupt empire. Expect Democrats and the left to launch bogus investigations to hold things up, bureaucrats to throw up legal roadblocks, and activist judges to try to halt Musk work with unconstitutional rulings. I fully expect that. You should have your neck out looking for that, because it's absolutely going to happen. It's already begun. They know that if Doge continues its mission, the American people will start demanding real accountability, which is why we sent them there in the first place, right? They are supposed to be serving the people and our interests, taking our money to build a better, stronger America for us and our future. And that's the greatest fear of every career politician feeding at the taxpayer trough. Foreign leaders, deep state operatives, and globalist elites are all aligning to sabotage Doge before it unravels their decades of unchecked power and waste. Line by line, I'm just going to keep saying it, line by line, they're running a check. President Trump must prepare for the inevitable all-out assault on Doge and its mission, and I'm sure he is. He should put 4 airtight legal protections. That's what he should push for. Rally Republican lawmakers to defend Musk's efforts, and most importantly, keep the American people informed about every dirty trick the left tries to pull. The key to victory is relentless transparency. Relentless, savage transparency. Every time the establishment fights back, Trump and Musk must expose exactly what they are so desperate to stop and in these particular investigations. If the left wants to wage war to protect their corrupt spending, then Trump must be ready to fight back twice as hard. And you know who our president is. That's fully within his wheelhouse. It's what he does best. This battle isn't just about cutting waste. No. It's about taking back our government from the grifters, from the liars, and the globalists who have been bleeding America dry for decades. Okay? The left's hysteria over Doge's relations proves just how deep the rot goes and how terrified they are of losing control. Now, with Trump and Musk leading the charge, this is the best shot America has had in decades to drain the swamp and truly drain it for good. Okay, now is the time to press forward, expose this corruption, and dismantle the wasteful, self-serving machine that Washington has become. Now, here's a list so far, okay, of what we know has been spent by way of the American tax dollar. Now, I am going to just go ahead and tell you this. You might want to have a bucket or a pail, because this could possibly get you ill or really actually make you vomit, okay? Recent audits and reports related to USAID spending, particularly exposed by the Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE, under the Trump administration, highlight significant expenditures on projects that have been labeled as wasteful or controversial. So I say completely unnecessary. Some of the key findings include this. $1.5 million for diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives in Serbia's workplaces. $70,000 for production of a DEI-themed musical in Ireland. $2.5 million for purchasing electric vehicles in Vietnam. $47,000 for a transgender opera in Colombia. $32,000 for a transgender comic book in Peru. $2 million allocated for gender transition procedures and LGBTQIA alphabet soup plus activism in Guatemala. We're talking about $6 million. $6 million spent on tourism development in Egypt. Hundreds of thousands of dollars allegedly directed to a nonprofit linked to terrorist organizations, even after an inspector general launched an investigation. We're talking about millions in funding for Eco Health Alliance, which was involved, by the way, in research at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Oh my gosh. Funding of irrigation projects and farming materials in Afghanistan that reportedly contributed to increased opium production benefiting the Taliban. These findings have led to increased scrutiny of USAID's financial management with calls for further investigations and reforms. Long overdue. Now, there is more to come, but I think this is the retribution that the American people deserve, right? We need those books open. We need to know where our money has gone. Okay, you are punching clocks, you're getting up at the crack of dawn, you're going to work, you work all day, you maybe work a little overtime, you want to save a little, you open up, you get that paycheck, and you see what the Fed has taken out, and you find out that it went to some transgender book or an opera in Ireland. Are you kidding me? No. It is my sincere hope that more exposure occurs, securing responsible spending in our government, and putting money back in our pockets and reasonably spending on our military. I'm all for that. I'm all for our infrastructure. I'm all for securing our financial standing. I'm all for increasing the value of the American dollar and education and technology and our presence as the global dominant superpower that we were destined to be. You may spend money on that. Okay, but a transgender comic book? No, I'll keep my money in my own pocket. More to come. We'll pay attention. Now, Rick, we're going to move into a little culture because you might get the impression that this show is all about politics, and it's not. We got to talk about a little culture. Now, some people have heard, some may have not. But we're going to talk about Lyft. There is a lawsuit by an obese woman. She's suing Lyft, and we need to talk about it because there's a bigger issue here, and I must address it, Rick. I can't let it go. Okay, go ahead and flash the picture of the lady. All right. And as I wear his name on my chest, I got to go at this in a beastly way. We have another obese person making waves. Detroit-based rapper Deja Blanding, also known as Dank DeMoss, what kind of name, is suing Lyft after a driver refused to give her a ride, allegedly due to her weight. Imagine that. Now, when the driver arrived in his sedan, because she ordered a sedan, knowing her size, okay? She didn't order a bus. Okay, she didn't order an 18-passenger or anything like that. She didn't order a boat. She ordered a sedan. She saw the picture of the car. We've all ordered Lyft and Uber before. We know what we're picking. You can choose economy. You can choose a mid-size car. You can choose a big car. She ordered the sedan. He reportedly took one look at her and stated she wouldn't fit accurately, adding that his tires couldn't handle the strain. Well, neither could his shocks. Okay. His practical solution? He suggested she order a Lyft XL, an extra large, a vehicle specifically designed for larger passengers or groups. Rather than seeing this as a reasonable alternative, as any normal, rational person would do, okay, because she gets up every day and puts on her panty in her big pants. She knows her size, okay? Blanding instead took it as a personal attack and is now suing Lyft for discrimination under Michigan's civil rights laws. I'm almost out of words, almost. But let's be real. This lawsuit is yet another example of America's growing problem. She's growing, and yet America has a growing problem. Not obesity, no, but victimhood culture. This outrage victimhood culture. At nearly 500 pounds, Rick, Blanding isn't a victim of discrimination. She's a victim of physics. We're going to keep it savage, really, today. You can't squeeze a twin-size mattress into a carry-on bag. And you can't expect a standard sedan to handle a load that would make a forklift groan. The driver wasn't being cruel. He was being savagely truthful, which I'm a fan of. And he was being realistic. Should he have risked a busted suspension just to spare her feelings? Allow him, her, to break his shocks? Okay? That's like asking for an elevator to ignore the weight limit because it might hurt someone's self-esteem. Now, from a legal standpoint, Blanding doesn't have a leg to stand on. Though, at 500 pounds, standing on both might already be a challenge. She understands. That girl knows what size she is. Anti-discrimination laws exist to protect people. It exists to protect people from unjust bias, not to force business into unsafe or impractical accommodations. Okay. If a person with a 7-foot wingspan can't fit into an economy airline seat, is Delta required to stretch the cabin for them? If a hippo can't ride a horse, is that equestrian discrimination? What are we doing here? What? Am I really reporting on this? The driver's job is to transport passengers safely, okay? Not perform vehicular miracles. That's not their job. If he had let her in and the tires blew out, would she have willingly been replaced the tires? Would she have sued for emotional distress from the crash? This is ridiculous. At the end of the day, this situation is a textbook case for personal responsibility. If your body size requires special accommodations, hear me out and hear me good, okay? If your body size requires special accommodations, and this is not about making fun of people who are larger. Hey, that's not what it is, okay? If that is the case, plan ahead instead of demanding the world reshape itself around you. Lyft literally offers extra large rides for this exact reason. It's not fat phobia. It's just simple common sense. Instead of spending time in court, Blanding might want to spend some time on the treadmill. Okay. That's where I'm going with this. This is absolutely ridiculous. We need to stop this victimhood and we need to stop this litigious way that we think and operate in this country. Or at the very least, recognize that sometimes the problem isn't society. It's the laws of nature. And even the best lawyer can't argue with gravity. Now, moving on. That's all I have to say about that. I had to be savage in that moment. We need to move on because I also need to talk about the Grammys this year. And all the award shows that no one watches any longer. And that is also for a very particular reason. It's no wonder that the award shows like the Grammys and the Oscars and the Emmys have been bleeding viewers year after year. Americans, like myself, are tired of self-righteous celebrities using these platforms to shove their political opinions down our throats. The recent Grammy Awards saw an 8.8% drop in viewership from last year. That's big. Right. Continuing a downward trend that has plagued award shows for over a decade. So I still say that music isn't what it used to be. Now, every generation has said that, but I really, truly don't even listen to or recognize the current music today. And so when my parents' music used to play, I might not have enjoyed all of it, but I still knew who the artists were. I can't say that today. Now, while these events used to be a celebration of entertainment, they've become predictable soapboxes for Hollywood elites to lecture the rest of us about diversity, equity, and inclusion. Everybody wants to speak on DEI, transgender rights, and other woke talking points, right? It's exhausting, absolutely exhausting. And frankly, no one tunes in for that nonsense anymore. Okay, that is so 2020, we're over it. Viewership peaked at nearly 40 million in 2012, but today the Grammys struggle to hit even half of that because Americans would rather do anything else than be scolded by millionaires in designer suits and gowns, all of which they look horrible in. Okay, the Emmys have been no better. The show hit an all-time low with just 6.1 million viewers in 2020, largely because it was a leftist echo chamber that insulted half the country. Host Jimmy Kimmel went out of his way to mock Trump supporters and turn the night into a progressive rally rather than an entertaining event. From leading a Black Lives Matter chant to openly ridiculing conservatives, the night alienated the very audience that used to tune in for an escape from politics. People watch television to be entertained, folks, not to be force-fed the same tired rhetoric that's already saturating the mainstream media and social networks. The industry has clearly learned absolutely nothing from its ratings collapse. Now, this blatant politicization of entertainment is one of the many reasons Kamala Harris went down in flames in the 2024 election. Americans, please hear me. Americans are sick and tired of being dictated to by celebrities who have zero qualifications to weigh in on serious matters like governance, economics, or foreign policy. No one cares what Taylor Swift thinks about social justice, what Alicia Keys says about DEI, or what Lady Gaga feels about transgender rights. Hollywood's influence on politics is dying, and it's about time. Americans are rejecting the woke sermonizing and choosing alternative entertainment options. This is why people don't know who these artists are. We've completely tuned out. We've turned away. If the entertainment industry ever wants to regain credibility, it needs to ditch the political grandstanding and get back to making award shows about talent, not activism. Now, I don't know how Rick's going to do this, but we need to show really quickly Kanye West and his wife showing up naked at the Grammys. Now, viewer discretion is advised. Just a quick shot. And keeping with the Hollywood theme, I'm moving into Snoop Dogg. Gotta mention him. Snoop Dogg and Tom Brady say they want to end hate. And if you think the NFL has learned its lesson, think again. The NFL hasn't learned its lesson. Hollywood has not learned its lesson. Enter the newest spectacle, a commercial featuring Snoop Dogg and Tom Brady, two unlikely moral champions. Yes, because nothing says let's spread positivity like a former quarterback and a rapper who spent decades glorifying everything from violence to drug culture. This cringeworthy pairing, with all its self-righteous overtones, only serves to remind fans how out of touch the NFL is with what they really care about. If anything, this kind of nonsense just makes people want to turn off their TVs and get back to enjoying the game without having their intelligence insulted by corporate-sponsored virtue signaling. Now, to give you an example of what I'm talking about and to show this video, I'm going to do so right now.
I hate you because we're from different neighborhoods.
I hate you because you look different.
I hate you because I don't understand you.
I hate you because people I know hate you.
I hate you because I think you hate me.
Because I need someone to blame.
Because you talk different.
Because you act different.
Because you're just different. Man, I hate that things are so bad that we have to do a commercial about it.
Me too.
You see, the problem with these kinds of commercials and messages is simple. Fans don't tune into football to hear about societal issues or feel like they're being lectured on how to behave. They want to see hard hits. They want to see great plays. They want to see and enjoy a competitive spirit. When Snoop Dogg and Tom Brady start waxing philosophical about ending hate, it's like being hit with a soft paddle tackle instead of a spine-crushing one, completely missing the mark. This is the NFL's attempt to pretend it's doing something meaningful while simultaneously alternating a large portion of its fan base. So while they pat themselves on the back for being woke, the real fans are checking out, one commercial at a time. Now, maybe the NFL should take a football, stick it, and leave the moralizing for others. Now, that's a whole lot of Savage Truth for today. Thank you for joining me. Remember to please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And remember, as always, be bold, be strong, be faithful, be true. Till next time, I'm Cicely.
The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis is a production of Front Page Magazine and the David Horowitz Freedom Center. Reproduction of this podcast without express written consent is prohibited.